Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Good morning, Las Vegas. Welcome to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast. My name's John Racine with the Church at Las Vegas. We're glad that you've tuned in again this morning to listen to another broadcast. Hey, we've been spending the last several weeks now talking about faith from Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 1. We kind of did an introduction leading up to that from the end of Hebrews chapter 10. And then the last couple weeks we've been talking about Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. And let's just go there real quick and just be reminded of some of the things that we've talked about. Now, this isn't a absolute, complete, full definition of faith. We need to get that throughout Scripture, don't we? In fact, you know, I heard somebody the other day that they were talking about getting a definition and what a word really meant. And they said they were going to go to the dictionary. And I was immediately thinking to myself, you know, that's really dangerous because dictionaries change. And the meaning that dictionaries give to words is based upon people's perceptions and understandings of what that word is. In fact, if you go back into dictionaries in the past and you use dictionaries in the present, you'll find out that words have new meanings than they used to, or the preferred or the most used meaning. So dictionaries are based on what people's perception and understanding of them are. The Word of God doesn't change like that. Okay, the Word of God is the Word of God, and it was given as the Word of God. It remains the Word of God. Yes, sometimes the translations of the words change so that we can better understand them in our language, but they don't change meaning over a period of time. So, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, it says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." And we spent, like I said, the last 2 weeks talking about that. You can go back and listen to those broadcasts on our website at thechurchatlasvegas.com. If you'd like to, that's one of the things that you can do, is go back and underneath the broadcast there, you can listen to some of those older ones. But again, faith is confidence, okay? It's not just, oh, I hope so. It's a confidence in what we hope for. And again, that hope isn't just wishful thinking. It's based on promises that God has given us. And that's why we can be so sure. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Let me give you just a quick reminder. In Romans chapter 4, and we'll probably do this again when we get to Abraham, but in Romans chapter 4 and verse 18, it says, "Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it has been said of him, so shall your offspring be." In other words, God had promised Abraham offspring. He had promised that Abraham was going to have children, descendants, and yet at the time he had no descendants at all. And God made him patiently wait 25 years before he actually had his first own son. And so Abraham believed in that. Verse 18, "Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed." And why did he believe that? Because God had said it. God said it, that settles it, we can believe it. Verse 19 in Romans 4 goes on to say, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he promised. Friends, that's what faith is. Being fully persuaded that God has the power to do what he promised. Abram believed it, and we can believe those same promises that he's given to us today. Promises not just about offspring that are going to come, but about the offspring, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man, who gave his life for us on the cross so that we might live. That's the faith that we are confident in. That is what we are hoping, not in that, oh, I wish so, but confidently hoping for an assurance about what we don't see. We've never seen God, we've never seen Jesus, we've never seen heaven, but we believe all of those things are real. We also believe that there is going to be consequences and punishment and destruction for the wicked and for the unrighteous and those who do not choose to trust and believe in the Lord God and in his Son Jesus Christ. And so this is what we're talking about when we're talking about faith. Then verse 2 goes on to say, this is what the ancients were commended for. This is what the ancients or the elders were commended for. Now, remember in the letter to the Hebrews, Paul, I believe, is specifically writing to those Hebrews or Jews who had come out of the first covenant. Not that there was anything wrong with that first covenant in and of itself, but it wasn't adequate to bring people to salvation before God. And so God gave them that to point them to Christ so they might learn and understand that just keeping laws doesn't work. It can't be done in the flesh. And so the ancients were commended for believing and having confidence in God's promise that indeed a Messiah was going to come into the world. A Messiah that God had told Satan about all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, when he tells him, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, you will strike his heel. Now, that was fulfilled when Satan had Christ put to death, as it were, crucified. He thought that he'd won. But on that third day, when Jesus rose from the dead, he dealt a crushing blow to Satan. In other words, Jesus now holds the keys of death and Hades. And so Satan, all he can do is do his best to keep people away from Christ and to have faith in Christ. And that's what these ancients were commended for. These ancient elders, those that were specifically a part of those that belonged to Abraham, the Jews, the Jewish race and religion, these were the ones that were commended for their faith. Now, it wasn't just Jews, because some Gentiles chose to come along beside the Jews and learn about this God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They wanted to know about this God of creation who created the heavens and the earth. In fact, let's just go back and be reminded about Jonah. Jonah in chapter 1, when God had sent him to the city of Nineveh to preach against it, but Jonah wanted nothing to do with it, and so ran away in the different direction, getting on board a ship and sailing as far to the west as he could from Nineveh. Of course, when the Lord asks you to do something, you probably better do it. Okay? Not probably, you better. And Jonah learned that. God sent a great storm on the sea, and the ship was threatened, and all the sailors were afraid, it said in verse 5. And each cried out to his own God. But Jonah had gone down below deck and was asleep, and the captain said, "Get up and call on your God." And then they wanted to find out who was responsible, and so they cast lots in verse 7. And verse 8, Jonah drew the lot, and so they asked him, "Who's responsible, and who's your people?" And verse 9, he answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." And this terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" And so Jonah had prayed to them, or prayed to God, and of course asked them to throw him over the sea. And when they did that, the storm abated. The raging sea grew calm, as it says in verse 15. And I love verse 16. "At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him." So even just in that brief encounter, when Jonah had shared with them, told them about his God, the Lord God who had made the seas and the dry land, and after they had seen this miracle God had performed by calming the seas, instead of praying to their own gods, okay, they offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and they made vows to him. So Jews, especially some Gentiles, this is what the ancients were commended for. Remember, what Paul is doing here is trying to get these Jews who he's writing to not to shrink back, not to go back on their faith and the vows and the promises they had made, that they had endured and they had stuck in there. So don't shrink back. We're of those who have faith and are saved. And so now he's going to give them a whole bunch of different examples here in Hebrews 11. Many of these examples are those in verse 2, the ancients that were commended for their faith. So verse 2 is kind of the broad category, and then he's going to start giving us specific examples of those ancients who by faith remained true to God throughout their lifetime. Hey, let's listen to our first song this morning. This is a song by Stephen Curtis Chapman called "Children of God." And friend, I hope that you know that you're a child of God this morning. Now, I know there's some of you out there that are going, "Yeah, but even as a child of God, I mess up and I do things I shouldn't, and I feel bad about it." And it's like, well, yeah, so do I sometimes. But here's the thing. Being a child of God is about being a child of God, first of all, by grace through faith. It's about responding to God's grace. And it's about when we recognize that we're not, that we get right back on track again and start walking by faith again. We know that we're children of God. David was a man after God's own heart, and yet we read about him doing something terrible, taking Uriah's wife and sleeping with her, and then having Uriah killed after it was known that she was pregnant. And these things were done on purpose to cover up and hide up. And yet when David was confronted with his sin, he repented and asked for God's forgiveness. And yes, he had to suffer the consequences of his actions, but he walked again by faith after that even. And so here's what we need to be. We need to be children of God. And if you are not sure of whether or not you're a child of God, we want to be able to answer those questions. We want to be able to point you to a relationship, a fellowship with God, if you were. He wants you to come and know him. He wants you to be saved. He doesn't want you to shrink back and be destroyed. He wants you to walk in full confidence and full assurance about his amazing, awesome promises. Okay? So let's listen to Stephen Curtis Chapman sing "Children of God" this morning.
Who are the treasured and the prized? Who is the apple of God's eye? Who is? We are, we are, we are. Who are the ones who bear his name? Who are the children he has claimed as his? We are, we are, we are. The ones God has sent his son to rescue. And now he
All right, we're back this morning. What a great song that is. Children of God by Stephen Curtis Chapman. Hey, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11 and jump right in verse 3. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. Before he begins to give some of these specific examples of faith and of these ancients or elders who were commended for their faith, he's going to go back to the very beginning where it started it all. And so in verse 3, the Bible says, by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. All right, so, I mean, this is going back to the very, very beginning of things. And here's the point. It has to be accepted or appropriated by faith. All right? Many people ask those questions, where did we come from? Well, you came from your parents. Well, where did they come from? From their parents. Where did they come from? And people just keep going farther and farther back. Well, where did they come from? Where did they come from? And ultimately, you have to go back to one of two points, okay? Either there has always existed something, okay? In other words, there's always been a physical piece of an atom or a proton or whatever you want to go back to, an amoeba, a gas, something physical, that's one of the options. The other option is that there is an eternal God who designed and began all of what we see and understand today as our universe. Okay? Now, neither one of them can be proven because neither one of them there were any human beings around to record it or to actually see it happen, right? Okay. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. This takes us back to the very first verses of the Bible, doesn't it? Very first verses of the Bible. Many people are familiar with Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There you go. The very first verses of the Bible tell us our origins. We didn't just evolve. We didn't just come about as a result of billions and billions of years of evolution from, you know, monkeys back to fish back to... No, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And in verse 3, it says, "And God said, let there be light. And there was light." Okay, this is what it's saying. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. In other words, God spoke the universe into existence. He spoke all of the physical things and even the things that aren't visible into existence from nothing. He just spoke and it came into existence. And that's what verse 3 goes on to say, isn't it? "So that what is seen was not made out of what was visible." In other words, he just called it into being from nothing. That's God. That's how powerful God is. That's how intelligent God is. That's how awesome God is and amazing God is, that he can just speak and it comes into existence. This is also what is so amazing about John chapter 1 and verse 1. John chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made." And then verse 14 says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Friends, that Word is Jesus. Okay? The Word before he was actually the human being, Jesus. And in fact, in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15, it says, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him." That's our Jesus, who was the Word before he took on flesh. And so by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. Faith in what? Faith in God's Word. God's Word tells us, God said it, it came into being. That in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We believe it. Friends, I hope and pray that you do believe it. We're going to continue on in this discussion in our next study, but let's listen to another song this morning. This is by Carrie and Kelly Nichols called "All Praise Rising." And I hope that you seek and thank and praise the God of all creation. Let's listen again this morning.
All praise rising, all rising. it will rise, will rise, will rise to thee. If there be any peace, any love, if there is any joy, then let them rise.
If there be any good, any just, if there is any grace, then let it rise.
If there is any breath, any sound, if there is any life, then let it rise,
let it rise. Every honor rise to thee, all the beauty, all the glory, all thanksgiving rise to thee.
All the music, all the singing, all the longing rise to thee.
In the sorrow and the laughter, all praise rising rise to thee. And it will rise, and it will rise.
Well, that's about going to do it for us this morning, friends. Thanks so much for listening. We're going to continue in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 next week, Lord willing. Please read, study ahead, bring your questions, ask them, and do some studying yourself. But we'd sure love to encourage you to come visit us at the Church at Las Vegas. We meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. That's right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. We meet Sunday morning at 10:30. Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, and Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. We'd love to have you come and be a part of that. We're going to have some amazing guest speakers this morning, and I'd really love to encourage you to come and be a part of that. Luke Anderson from Reno, Nevada, and Jason Corder from Forest Park, Louisiana, tonight. So come on out, please, and join us. Hey, thanks again so much for listening, and until we meet again, keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.